season two.
It's not a pilot.
We're still doing this.
What'd you say?
I said it's still. I called it a pilot, and then I said it's not a pilot in season two. So
it's
I had to correct
myself.
It's not
a pilot.
Is that a reference to something?
No,
I don't get references.
I don't get references either, guys. Welcome to Gilmore Guys.
I'm Demi.
I'm Kevin, and we're the Gilmore Guys.
I didn't want to say it.
Okay.
I didn't want to say it.
All right, leave me alone here. That's fine. That's
season
totally
two,
cool.
We gotta do things different now.
Guys, we made it to season two.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's pretty unbelievable that we made it here.
It's very unbelievable.
And today's kind of a way back playback because a little behind the scenes peek into our process. A little IB. We're recording in the same room that we recorded the very first episode in, which has not been our usual room.
Yeah, we've moved rooms twice.
We've moved rooms twice. We found a room we really liked. However, there's a lot of construction happening today.
So we're back in the OG.
We're back in the OG, guys, and it's great.
Before we start, I would like to apologize. In the previous episode, we promised that Tom Hanks would be here.
That's true.
We did, and he was confirmed.
He was. He texted THANX, which is really charming.
He always signs his texts.
Yeah, he does that on Twitter, too.
He dropped out. The Terminal 2 starts shooting today,
mm-hmm.
So...
Early call time in the morning.
Early call time.
Yeah. So we understand.
We do understand. But we got someone better.
Even better.
Yeah, we got someone we like a lot more.
Even better than Tom Hanks, guys. Can you believe it? We're going to intro him
right now. Let's intro him right now.
Right now. Here we go.
La, 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 la.
All right, here we go. You know this guy from Veep. He's the Beltway Butcher. You know him from pulling a Marie Antoinette and This Is the End. You know him from Selfie. You know him from pretty much literally everything. He's one of those guys. He is the that guy.
He's the that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Husky.
Clapping sounds.
I'm
adding the clapping.
You're clapping. Oh,
I'm
yay.
Clapping
you know, it's good to celebrate yourself.
Yeah.
In this podcast, if nothing else, is all about celebrating yourself.
I wish you should have introduced me as Colin Hanks. That would follow up to the Tom Hanks. It would have been.
It's not too late. We can edit this.
Yeah. That's true. But the thing is, Colin Hanks sounds so much like his dad. So much like him.
Yeah,
I saw a show with him a couple of days ago that it's almost alarming. Close your eyes and it's like mid-80s mm-hmm. Hanks. It's pretty much the same thing.
Does he talk a lot about Saving Private Ryan?
He
and
does.
Captain Phillips.
Yeah, which is weird because mid-80s Hanks didn't do that.
Right.
Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys.
Do you have a Colin Hanks impression up your sleeve you're about to bust out?
No, I do not.
Brian, what is your experience with Gilmore Girls? If you can give a quick, brief history, which may be
prior.
Super brief.
Prior to watching the episode last night, never seen it in my life.
Mm-hmm.
My only reference point was I have a friend who was obsessed with it in high school, but this was before I knew him, so he would just tell me about his obsession with Gilmore Girls growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always like, I think he just had a thing for the mother.
For Miss Lauren Graham.
Yeah, Lauren Graham.
A knockout.
Yeah.
Did I say a knockout?
I think you said a knockout.
I meant a knockout. Need to enunciate better.
Yeah.
Okay, so you came into it fresh.
Fresh, no
In the
reference.
Middle of a pretty heavy storyline.
Yeah. Were you very confused for the first few minutes?
Not
the entire episode?
No. They kind of,
you pick it up.
Yeah. They said, you know, there's a guy that's, they don't get along, and then clearly they love each other because the tension is... expressed through the fighting and the bickering and stuff.
A lot of sexual tension there. A lot of raw ST.
Yeah.
I will say one thing that's a little bit disappointing about what Netflix does, because it just came on Netflix, you know, back in October. But Netflix has cut out, like a lot of streaming services do, the previously on.
Oh.
So if you watch it on DVD, and I did for making our supercut, which we'll get to later, They have the previously on Gilmore Girls, and it does a quick recap. In the DVD they have it, but on Netflix they don't, which I guess makes sense because it's like you're binging and that would get annoying. But for newcomers, it's kind of a bummer.
They even do the opposite of like giving you the synopsis of what's happening in the episode like before you watch it, and it's awful. It like spoils everything every time.
It's kind of a bummer.
It is not, I would say that it's not sort of a, you know, I didn't sense that there were massive storylines that went like years deep.
Right, because we're coming into season two and kind of Gilmore Girls, there's not a lot that, how do you say, occurs on the show in general. There's not like reversal. No, you're my daughter. No, I have a secret daughter. No, blah, 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 blah. So there's not a lot of that.
No.
It's no just, secret pregnancies.
But coming into it fresh, let's just paint in broad strokes.
Right.
Well, maybe we'll get to that later.
Oh, boy.
Paint broad strokes. How did you enjoy the show?
I would have never watched the show. I enjoyed it in the sense of like I was watching it with an ironic detachment and a certain amount of like, okay, I'm going to chat about this. So what's weird about this? I think that the show is it's a very certain time and place and a very girly show, very girl show.
It's the girly show before TGS.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah. It was great. Like I could tell from the second, just from the very first scene, I was like, "Oh, okay, I get the kind of like it's almost like eating a gigantic Kit Kat bar. You're like, oh, this is delicious, and I'm gonna feel like crap afterwards. There's nothing rewarding to what I'm about to experience.
Oh, no, really. Oh man. Well, let's open up the episode discussion the way we open up every episode discussion with a little segment we call Pop
Goes
the
Culture.
Did my voice crack a little on Pop? Yeah. I mean, we're all growing. We're all growing into manhood and womanhood.
Not me, I'm an adult.
Okay. All right. You're the youngest one in here, Demi. Aren't you?
Yeah.
You're 20.
One. Oh, two. Two. Why did I say one? I'm 22.
Ah, that's interesting that you defaulted to that.
Yeah, to the aging.
Well, we'll do it with a little supercut that we put together for every episode, every pop culture reference in the show. We put them together, and we listen back to them and figure out what we know and what we don't know. This is episode 201, Sadie, Sadie, Pop Goes the Culture.
You're going to be a Sadie.
A what?
A Sadie. Sadie, Sadie, married lady, meet a mortgagee.
Funny girl.
Surprises.
You know how on All in the Family when Edith would be yapping about something and Archie would pretend to make a noose and hang himself or shoot himself in the head?
Cher, Greg Allman, I bet they'd give it a big thumbs up.
So you're going to live forever? Like on Fame?
Oh, Michelle thinks he's going to live forever.
Like on Fame?
The one Stephanie Seymour wore in the Guns N' Roses video?
Or I guess Stephen Hawking doesn't suck, but J. Edgar Hoover over here was just telling us.
Oh, I'll take any other subject in the world for 200, Alex.
The Jonah Melissa Rivers story, starring
Jonah Melissa Rivers.
I'm going to give Rory that first edition of Mencken's Crestomathy.
It's going to be just like that Sally Field movie, when her husband took them to Iran and wouldn't let them come back, except that I won't have to keep my head covered.
You should walk down the aisle to Frank Sinatra.
Silly rabbit.
Timers are for games.
Apparently, they shoot a gland from a pig's head in Ivana Trump's rear end twice a month to keep her looking young.
Supposedly ripped right off of Zelda Fitzgerald's cold dead hand.
Wow. Lousy with references.
Yeah. Just lousy. Just
stinky episode. With them.
This time they're absolutely only, filthy with them.
There were only two references I didn't get.
Which were the two?
The Mencken one, the H.L. Mencken.
Mencken's Crestomathy?
Yeah, of course it's Richard that drops it, and I don't remember what the other one was.
And well, if
yeah.
you remember, that was from season one.
Was it?
A little recap, because they were talking, I think, in the episode three, where they go golfing.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'll give you Mencken's Crestomathy. Uh-huh. Crestomathy. So this is a little callback
what
to
a
that.
Nerd.
Wow. No,
Richard, not you.
Pretty nerds. Deep cut there.
Deep cut. A little DC. DC.
Do you know who H.L. Mencken is?
Yes.
Yes.
I just didn't know that he had a book called The Crestomathy.
Right.
Is it The Crestomathy?
I don't know.
What is Crestomathy? What is it?
It's a book.
I know. But
it's the study of Crestomath.
You know, Crestomath.
This is one of those things where it's like, oh, it'd be good to have all the references in front of us, but that's not how we play here.
No.
We don't play games like
we're
that.
We're heavily unprepared, hence why we still don't have a jingle for that thing we do in the beginning.
For the Pop Goes the Culture?
Yeah.
We are the jingle, though.
So on the show, so because immediately I was like, oh, they have, they've got a unconscious, witty repartee betwixt the mom and the kid.
Yeah.
That's true.
That is carried more by Lauren Graham because Alexis is just is basically eyeballs in a pretty face.
Like, beautiful eyeballs,
beautiful,
I would say.
But the most such a boring actress.
Oh, really? You think?
I really
think I actually think this was a boring episode for her.
For her, she's very passive. She just yells at Grandpa at the end.
Right. Yeah.
But she has no active involvement in what's happening.
She also has, is this an ongoing thing that she is just this she's emblematic of innocence and purity?
Yeah.
Because everything
that's
she says is
the
just
great
like,
white hope.
Yeah, she just says like, oh, I don't think that's true. He seems like a nice man. Like everything is just these tender, innocent, like 5-year-old statements.
Yeah,
of
that's
kind
true.
Of like seeing everyone as the good in everyone. Is that her?
That's
her
very
deal?
Much her.
That's her trademark thing. Is
I
being...
think all the cynicism is her mom.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
And why, you know, I'm coming in late here. So she grew up in not just affluence. She grew up in cartoonish affluence. And was she just a wild child who went and lived with truckers for a while and became sort of like the complete opposite of what her family is?
She got pregnant.
She got
16.
Pregnant at 16, had Rory, and that separated her from her family. So it wasn't really a trucker thing. Her form of rebellion was going to Stars Hollow, which is a pretty nice town.
it's the least rebellious.
Yeah. It's just not a mansion.
Right. Okay. Got
so, so yeah, that's her thing. But that is the crux of Emily, the grandma, and Lorelai's conflict in relationship, is that separation. When she was 16, she didn't marry the father of her child, and she went off and lived in a shed near a lake, which we saw in a few episodes prior.
Got it.
So, yeah, so that was them.
Yeah.
Rory doesn't have a lot to do in this episode.
She
really realizing that
it's
a lot.
Really just
she's
the,
supporting the marriage idea. Yeah. And she's bringing the...
Which is a bad... Like, I hate that storyline of the
we'll
marriage.
We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that.
Max Medina.
Really, Rory has, like, very little to do here. She just is there to be like, no, don't yell at my boyfriend. And then it's kind of over.
But she can do more than what she did, because I was just like, this character is so boring to me.
She can.
she does more.
Yeah.
When you see her bounce off Paris, when you see her with other boys later on in the show.
Sometimes she... Her more is just like, it's kind of more in a way you don't want it to go. Like, sometimes she gets really amped up about things that it's like, she recently broke up with that guy that she is with, and then they got back together.
Yeah,
Backstreet Boys. Mm-hmm. Who, by the way, in this episode, he looks like he's like the star football player whose yearbook quote was like a Bible passage or something.
John 3:16.
Yeah, of course.
And he looks super skinny in this episode
too,
doesn't he?
Well, they're dressed him in the oversized jeans.
Yeah. Right, that's true. Baggy jeans and too large of a t-shirt. Mm-hmm.
He used to wear like this weird like Matrix black jacket in every episode. And then in this one, they're like, we're going to give him a necklace and this surfer tee. And it's so
the
strange.
Puka shell. Is it puka shells that he's wearing?
It looks like puka. Yeah,
it's pukas.
I was struck.
But I will say they completely informed me of their history when they opened the door and they were like, glad to be back together? Yeah, I'm glad we're back together.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, they used to be together.
Good catch up.
Got to remind people what happened.
Very handy. Completely. Well, we've been talking a little about fashion. Should we just get into the fashion report real quick?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Fashion.
A little
like
off.
Every time we do, it's super off on my part. Every time we do these, I watch the guests just to see if they're just like, what the fuck is happening?
And the answer is usually that occurs.
Yeah.
Does Lorelai have red highlights in her hair?
Yes.
She does. She has like, she almost has sort of like current to what's fashionable now with the, almost like the kind of clumsy stripe strips.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, oh, she's a visionary.
She's before her time.
Before her time.
She's a visionary.
And then when Rory comes in, it kind of looks like she has red hair. So at that point, I'm just like, oh, is the coloring just weird?
Right.
But no, everyone's hair changes. Dean's hair, Emily's hair.
In the span of 2 days, we're picking up like a day or two after the proposal, which, by the way, the town square is just, as you said, lousy with daisies.
Yeah.
That's how Max proposed to her, with 1,000 daisies, which had to be at least 10,000 daisies.
Yeah. She just had to get rid of them somehow. She's like, here, town.
Pollen everywhere.
That's funny.
I like at the dinner, Emily is dressed like a futuristic colonel in the military.
She is.
You know what I'm talking about? The purple
with
up the to
buttons
the neck.
And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you guys seen Snowpiercer?
No.
All right. I won't spoil it, but she's dressed like Tilda Swinton in Snowpiercer.
Okay, really now funny. I'm going to see Snowpiercer.
Yeah. I didn't know what I did. I was like, "Oh, this is a rich uniform." The uniform
of
wealth.
Wealth.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like
affluence.
A general in monetary armies.
The money army.
The money, money army.
Mm,
they
Bitcoin.
Fight with dollars.
Yep.
But going back to Dean, why did they change his style? He literally used to wear the same jacket every episode.
That's true. He was like the Fonzie of Stars Hollow.
Do you think that they're sort of maybe not so subtly communicating that he's a new man and this is a whole new situation?
I hope not, because I kind of was thinking that he's gone. Like I thought he was.
And not
come
only
back.
That, but he's now in the opening credits, which was not the
is
case
really?
In season
really?
One.
I missed that.
Yeah, Jared Padalecki.
Well, that's what I saw. I saw him in the opening credits. I was like, oh, well, this is
a major player
from the beginning. So.
Absolutely.
What did he go on to do? He looked kind of familiar.
He's on Supernatural now, which is going into season 47, if I'm not mistaken.
47, 48.
Yeah. I'm not digging Lorelai's dog shirt. That was a weird thing for me. The blue... Do you not know what I'm talking about?
I saw the shirt, and I was like, she's wearing the same clothes that my seven-year-old daughter likes. Like,
that's going to be the twist. She's a seven-year-old.
Yeah.
Mentally, in a lot of ways, yes.
Yeah.
But, and then they reference that thing about the t-shirt to wear with the... prostitute on it or something? Remember?
Porn star t-shirt.
Right.
Yeah, which I just think of slut with Lindsay Bluth from like it's gonna be a get up like that
or Shamali.
Yeah,
but so she that her fashion is kind of like her own. It's who she is, right? It's just that she's putting it out there and she doesn't care what people.
She's very
think.
Much yeah. She just dresses however she wants to a lot of the time
and never wears the same outfit twice.
Really.
Ever. I mean, not in my, because I've seen all the episodes before. Demi's watching it for the first time. So kind of along with the guests, like a new viewer to it. But I don't believe she's ever repeated an outfit.
Well, but have you seen her repeat an outfit for anyone? Like in of the daughter or the mother? Like, can you say that about any TV show that they're like...
That's probably true.
You know, except for unless there's like
Simpsons.
A certain uniform. Yeah.
Unless it's uniform. The Simpsons and they're ironing all the same clothes together.
Or the grandpa, you know? He seems like he would be always wearing that.
He has to have worn. Like, there's not many colors you can go of like different suits.
Mm-hmm.
I do like his bow tie, though. I noticed it seemed a little bit more vibrant.
He looked like
the
Monopoly man.
He is a Monopoly man.
So gorgeous.
And that's been the fashion report. I'm alone, fashion. All right.
I didn't notice what was happening, and then I just owned it when I wasn't going for it.
Lane's storyline in this one.
What the hell?
I was not... too happy with this. Lane is a little Asian girl.
Okay, right.
With the suitcase bigger, which I did laugh at.
Comically large.
Yeah. Lane's got some really good funny moments in this series.
Do suitcases that big exist?
No. Okay. That was a photo someone held up in front of the camera for perspective.
Wait, it was an optical effect. It wasn't even practical.
There's no, I don't think, how would they make it?
The suitcase was super close to the lens.
Yeah.
They're shooting with a wide lens, and then she was way back.
It was a Barbie suitcase.
Like what they did on the Lord of the Rings for the Hobbits. Mm-hmm.
In a way, those two things are the same, Gilmore Girls and Lord of the Rings.
There's a lot of parallels.
We won't get into
play them over top of each other. Same dialogue, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a
accents.
Pink Floyd thing.
Yeah.
It's so weird when Gilmore starts talking about the ring in this episode.
And when Aragorn starts talking about Independence Inn.
Yeah.
Okay, so some more broad strokes. So Melissa McCarthy is in this show.
And I did not know that.
You didn't know that? What did you think about that?
I was like, oh, yeah, she's always been really good.
Yeah.
Like, I thought she was, and, you know, early indication of, that's a running bit. She's always injuring herself.
Yeah, which I was actually surprised that they went to again. They pulled from that well, because I don't think they have in a few episodes. There's something really big in the pilot, like, oh, I'm flipping over chairs and stuff, burning myself. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, they did return to that, too, I think, good effect, because of the way it was timed.
Mm-hmm.
With that last burn, that was on probably the most dramatic moment of the show, which we're skipping ahead. We're skipping all around. It's totally fine.
Guys, figure it out.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah.
You guys get it. You watched it. But that moment where Emily finds out that Lorelai didn't tell her that she accepted the proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And then cut to Suki burning herself and then throwing her phone
in the sink. What was that about?
Well, the pain, she's just in panic mode. She just was like, it doesn't matter.
Totally
like,
delusional.
About, yeah.
I just thought it was when she said, okay, bye. Herself. And then just throws it away and keeps washing
her hands. So the way that this worked out, just a quick recap for you, Max and Lorelai were kind of on again, off again in season one. They had their issues and problems, but then he proposed to her with a 1,000, which is more like
what
two.
What does Max do?
Max is a teacher.
Okay.
So can he afford
10,000 daisies
on a teacher's budget?
Yeah. Sure. Teachers make like what, 10,000 daisies a day?
I think that was actually a Twitter question. Someone, at Samantha with two A's, asked us, would you say yes to someone who spent that kind of money on flowers, estimated about $4,000? I guess she works at a florist for a proposal.
Or has Google.
No, there's no way. That's an unknowable number without working at a florist shop.
I don't know.
Because the question is, would you say yes to someone?
Well, I wouldn't say yes to someone if it's been like, we've been dating for 3 months and I got you 1,000 flowers. I'd be like,
Yeah.
Oh, is that, it's only been 3 months?
No, how long has it been? It's been less than 6 months.
In Stars Gilmore Hollow time, in mm-hmm. Gilmore time, it's been definitely less than a year.
It's like half
maybe
a
less than six
yeah.
months.
Yeah. And I also, mean, they were like apart for a while.
Right.
Yeah, they were fighting. Anyway, we'll get
to it. It's not long enough that it makes sense for her to say yes.
Well, she furrowed her brow enough and then said something in a smiling fashion, and then her face fell enough during the show that I know that she's not 100% about this.
Right.
Like, I sensed that.
There was some development.
Every single time over the 7 times that happened.
Even at even at the end, you see her, like, the last shot of the episode is her and Max gabbing on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not looking at him.
No, she's looking at her ring.
But at the ring instead, like,
and then there's still a little, like, it's not a happy, it's not content, it's a little like
there's some vagueness in her face, I will say, which I think is a credit to Graham personally. Like, I do think that was well played.
I think Lauren Graham does a great job.
She does a great job in this episode. She's got a lot of plates to spin,
mm-hmm.
but especially that last moment, it just seemed like she was more in love with the idea of marriage than actual marriage.
Right.
Well, she's, how much of this is coming from that idea of like satisfying her parents or giving some kind of stability to, what's your daughter's name?
Rory.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to right her wrongs, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But then she didn't tell her parents, you know.
Big mistake.
Which I like that. That was my favorite part where the mother is like, I just want Rory to, you know, let us know.
That was your favorite? I think that might have been my favorite scene, too.
Yeah, that was a great moment.
It just played real, and she was just the right amount of cold.
I want you to call Rory tomorrow and apologize.
What?
I want you to call her and tell her you're sorry, that you weren't feeling well and you think that Dean is a lovely boy and he's welcome here anytime.
Have you gone insane? Under no circumstances.
Our daughter is getting married. She's getting married and she didn't tell us. When Rory decides to get married, I'd like her to tell us. Call her tomorrow.
My favorite character is Emily Gilmore on this show, like far and away, more than Lane or Suki or Lorelai or Luke. Like, Emily's the one I'm most invested in, so all of her moments are like, for me.
A few episodes ago, we got a moment where, like, Richard, the grandpa, like, sits in this really dark room, and then there's, like, an argument that happens. So when we go into the dark room again, I was like, oh, no, another one of these. And then it just turns into, like, why do I have to apologize? And I was like, okay. And then it turned into, a really great moment of her, like, she didn't tell us that she's getting married. I want to know when my granddaughter gets married.
Not a lot. A lot of comedy happens in that study.
Yeah, no. it's not a very funny study.
The den of sadness.
There's no comedy.
But is it the grandpa? Is it the father who was sort of the sticking point? Or were they both on? Did they both have this sort of like rejection of her when she got
pregnant? They both had a similar rejection. And what I find interesting in the episode, though, is we've seen Richard up to this point to be a very passive character in the conflicts between Emily and Lorelai. So he's always just like, and then just puts a newspaper up while they're fighting.
Right.
But in this one, Emily is actually the kind of stable voice of reason.
Right.
Dean gets like roasted at that dinner.
I felt so bad for Dean, which sucks because I also hated him the second he showed up on screen.
Dean. Yeah, it's conflict. That's what this is. Dean's like one of those great anti-heroes like Tony Soprano or Walter White. You feel conflicted things about him.
Right.
Same pantheon, right?
But I think it's like the evolution. But his whole thing of the grilling, like, I thought the grilling was pretty lame because it was just kind of like, I'm going to furrow my brow and act pouty and no one's going to call it out.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to pretty much like crucify him in front of everyone. And everybody was just kind of like, this is happening.
This is weird.
And then I guess, all right, there's been enough lines. Now we're going to get angry about it and say something.
From the moment Dean walks in. And Emily has a moment where she's like, eh, and then she's like, okay, I'll be a civil person.
Right.
But Richard looks at him like he's an alien.
Which makes me think that Richard...
is an alien?
No.
Okay.
That Richard is in love with his granddaughter. That he is...
It's true.
Maybe there's a little...
I think maybe.
Darkness.
Oh, there's well... in love. I see.
Yeah. No, there was a... I'm just kidding. But there was a weird thing. I was like, it kind of jumped that
reasonable, you
know, that reasonable line where I was like, I don't know, man. This seems
even
weird.
Even if you're super protective of your granddaughter, it's like, what's going to happen if he goes to a different school? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It was very, it's like, I get some C's. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Yeah. Like, what was that about?
Yeah. And just that, like you said, like that first look was just like, you motherfucker.
Right.
For real. It was so intense.
I think it would have helped if Rory said, like, oh, wear a nice... anything. Like, he shows up wearing the necklace and like this weird like unbuttoned.
Yeah, he was wearing like his sort of like Tunisian disco shirt.
Yeah, like
he just
like,
came from the Third Eyed Blind concert.
Uh-huh. He was going to a beach wedding.
That's amazing. And then of course, well, Brian, you mentioned this before. You're a father.
Yes.
I think you're the first father you've had intercourse.
Yeah,
what's that?
I've done it.
He has proof. I said Papa Husky.
Papa Husky. So as a father, and this is going to be kind of a Father's Week on the podcast, because we're going to have another father in the next episode.
It's me.
I guess. No, it's
oh,
not.
Surprise.
You're not the father.
Oh, okay.
I promise you. But as a father who's had real life experience parenting, was there any point of connection you felt in the relationship between Lorelai and Rory?
I will say, as much as the little banter business annoyed me, because it was relentless, and I was like, all right, take a break.
Yeah.
Nobody can sustain that kind of stuff with their
seven
kid.
Seasons of that.
Yeah.
Seven. Six.
No, just like, that was nice. That was that kind of thing. Like, yeah, you can be kind of buddies with them and have your little inside jokes. I like that. I thought that was good. My daughter's only seven, so she's not at that point where she's giving me, like, advice or support, except for sometimes she'll tell me I look stupid when I'm wearing.
Oh, wow.
Like, sometimes
the heart, the mouth of babes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. She's always wrong. But
you guys aren't watching Joan and Melissa Rivers movies yet.
No, we haven't crossed into that. Our pop culture reference sort of bond.
Are you looking forward to that as someone who, like, obviously works in the industry and is probably like enjoys movies and TV shows so much? Are you looking forward to like sharing those things with your
daughter? Oh, yeah, totally. Well, it's funny, like, trying to turn her on to stuff. She has to find it on her own, which I'm discovering. Like, she doesn't like people to be like, you should watch this. Like, no. So
she has to give it to you.
I think that'll be cool. I think I'm going to kind of depend on her to sort of say, like, what's funny now? Or what's, you know, what's good? Because at a certain point, I know I'm going to be like, I don't know what's going on. And so she's going to lead me back into the fold.
And that'll be great.
Yeah.
And then maybe one of those things will be Gilmore Girls.
Maybe. You know what? There's a surprising number of her friends and herself who are really into Full House.
Okay, yeah.
There's like this weird, resurgence amongst seven-year-olds for Full House.
I believe because Full House is on Netflix as well.
Yeah.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really surprised. Like, you know what? A bunch of people have been like, you know what? My kids watch this Full House. Like, yeah, me too. Like, all these people. So it's weird. I don't know why.
Yeah, that is weird. Like, at least, is it on, like, Nick at Night or something? Or is, like...
It used to be. I think Nick at Night is just George Lopez show now.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
And not the Bill Cosby show.
Because I don't think of that show as, like, seven-year-old fodder at all.
No. You know?
Full House?
Yeah.
I do, just because I grew up with it, and you probably did, too, as well, right? But something about DJ Tanner is just, like, a universal thing. Is there... the one moment I want to go back to... is probably the crux of the episode where Emily finds out that Lorelai is engaged and she didn't know about it. To me, I feel like that's such an oversight on Suki's part to not assume she's Lorelai's best friend. They're like girls. Right. They've known each other for forever. Why would she not assume that, maybe things are weird like they always are with Lorelai and Emily, and play it safe and not tell her?
Well, it was a surprise, and she was also kind of frazzled about it.
Right.
Yeah.
She's throwing phones in sinks and whatnot.
But isn't she kind of built as a, like, her character is just kind of a little bit more enthusiasm before thought? Right?
A little bit, but she's never been the kind of person who just, like,
It's totally thoughtless. Yeah. Right, 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 right.
Mm. And, like, the fact that Lorelai and Emily aren't close is, like, a big thing of Lorelai. So, like, I think Suki would at least be like, oh, maybe they are. Maybe she doesn't know. But also, maybe Lorelai, or maybe Suki knew that she was going to have dinner with her mom and assumed. That, yeah.
I think the reason is they needed that to happen in the script.
That's probably
that's also so, true.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about the part where, like, to me, the biggest, like, musical moment of the episode, in that it was just such musical, like, blocking.
Oh, you mean when they're being followed by
when
the town?
When they're being followed by the entire town in a mob.
Is that because when, like, from the opening to the relentless banter between the mother and daughter to that, I was like, what the fuck is this show? Like, is it? Because then it just kind of drops off from there into, like, here's kind of a conventional dramedy content. And then it just seemed, like, wild, and it sort of, like, swings.
Bipolar
between
in tone?
Yeah. Yes, yes. And the sort of, like, audacity of, like, how much the color scheme of it and sort of, like, the set design. I was like, this is a weird show.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do, because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys. In general, I feel like season two is a lot brighter than season one was.
Very first scene, I was like, something's different. Like, yeah, they just turned up new all DP. Of the set lights.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, and they even had, didn't they have some kind of like music cue that was like,
I think it was Strawberry Alarm Clock.
Yeah, it was like a weird, it was like, yeah, it was some kind of hippie era thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I didn't know what that was in reference to or indicating for the show.
It was just like, here's a cool song.
Yeah.
Helen Pye, we love you. Right. That's the music supervisor on the show.
They'll just stick it in there.
That Lane is based on. That's a little Gilmore trivia. We used to do a trivia segment, didn't we?
We did. We used to do a lot of things on this show.
We've done a lot of recurring segments one time.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the
of course,
musical
of
moment.
Course.
So was that a weird, like, this has never happened kind of blocking like that for a joke like that? Like, what if the whole town was following them?
I think so. I think
it very slapsticky sometimes.
It was the broadest that it's ever been, where it's like,
where they're pressing against the glass. And
And Kirk passes out, which is funny.
Wait, Kirk passed out?
Yeah. Patty said Kirk passed out. Which Kirk and Patty are the only ones I recognize in that mob.
Right, yeah. Everyone else is extras that are like, I'm the town postman.
Yeah. Where's Bootsy, the newsstand guy?
Mm.
Which we met in this episode.
Yeah, man.
But so they get to the diner and Lorelai just takes muffins and coffee. Someone brought this up on Twitter, and
didn't get her coffee.
Oh, that's
true.
She
asked
for
two muffins
for
and a coffee, mm-hmm, and walked away with two muffins.
Mm. Oh, symbolic.
So, yep,
that comes back in a big way in season five. Actually, is the coffee gate.
She never got the coffee.
5 years later, she brings that up.
Remember about,
you know what else?
50 episodes ago.
I never got that fucking coffee.
But someone brought this up on Twitter. Does Lorelai ever pay for anything at Luke's?
Oh.
I think the answer is,
I think I've seen Rory pay for something once, but not Lorelai.
Yeah, she never has.
No.
They have an understanding.
Mm-hmm. They have an understanding.
What do you think of Luke
like,
in this show?
Now, Luke is the...
Luke is flannel, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I worked with Luke on a movie.
Did you?
Patterson.
Yeah, Scott Patterson.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, we worked on... It was a Lifetime Christmas movie.
Oh, okay. Grumpy Cat?
No. It was
they have other movies.
That is their juggernaut, though, to be fair.
I thought about asking you that at the beginning, because surely with as much as you've worked, you've probably worked with some of these cast members.
I was amazed. I was like, oh, I worked with that guy.
Yeah.
But he's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I recognized him. He was on some other show after that.
There was an action show. Oh, he was on The Event on NBC.
Right. But yeah, very... Very nice guy. Kind of sometimes, I mean, I don't think he wanted to be there and doing this Lifetime movie very much. You know?
Right.
I don't think any of us really were like, yes, this is it.
Yeah. Who was the most stoked person on the set of that Lifetime movie?
The two young lead girl, like the guy and the girl. Because I think it was like their first kind of thing.
Melissa Joan Hart and Mario Lopez.
No, actually, it wasn't. because it was the girl. Okay, you guys probably know this. She has put out a book recently, Math for Girls or something.
Math for Girls.
It's not Megan Amram. I know who it is. It's Winnie Cooper from Wonder Years. Her name is Danica McKellar.
That's it.
Yeah.
Danica.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Danica McKellar.
Yeah.
She's great.
She was great. She was really cool.
That's
very
awesome.
Positive. She doesn't curse. She doesn't like dark.
She doesn't
like dark bits.
Like Will Smith.
Did you try a dark bit on her, Brian?
Yeah, I will always test everyone with a dark bit. And she's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
And she did not respond.
I think she said something to the effect of like, oh, well, you went there, didn't you? And I was like, why are you talking to me like a 65-year-old lady?
TMI, right?
TMI.
Wait, what was your role in that
I
movie?
Was the... Okay, it was called it was called Love at the Christmas Table, which could be a porno. It was originally called Little Chairs, and the idea is just that these two families have been having Christmas every year together. These two myself and Scott Patterson, best friends, and our kids have been hanging out since they were seven, and they've always been in love with each other. So it's about them sort of falling in love at the Christmas table. But it was called Little Chairs. Love at the Tiny Table. Like, they went through all these weird titles, you know, that sounded like, is this a movie about dwarfism or what are we watching exactly?
It could be.
And then, you know, Lifetime is like, no, let's tell them what the movie is. It's about love and it's got Christmas in the title and that's what they'll search for. Okay, that's it. There's the title. There you go.
Wonderful.
Lifetime's got their stuff together.
Yeah.
But long story short, Scott Patterson was all pro.
He was all pro.
Nicest guy in showbiz.
Very nice
man.
Is he
like dark bits? bits?
Yes, he does.
Ah.
Did he do a dark bit?
Oh, we did tons of dark bits.
Patterson seems like a dark bit kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Patterson's all DBs all day.
Oh, lots of cocaine jokes and, yeah, it was
funny. Oh, fun. I want him to come on the show and do some DBs with us.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he'd be game for it.
He might. Yeah, he might be.
He is the ultimate, if you think about it, and you think about what we're doing on this show, because we have comedians and writers and other actors on the show, but we're also starting to branch out and have cast and crew from the show as well.
Oh, that's insightful.
In a way, Scott Patterson is the ultimate Gilmore guy.
Mm-hmm. He really is.
Isn't he?
Or Jared Padalecki.
No, he's not. No.
Come on.
He's not the
Jared, he's the come on the show.
He's the supernatural guy. He's not the Gilmore guy. How about let's go to
what else happens in this episode?
Yeah, well, actually what I want to do is, because we're skipping around, I thought it might be fun to do some Twitter questions.
We don't have a theme song.
chirp.
Twitter questions.
That's we're going to use that every episode now.
They're recording back every time. Saying it too.
Yeah.
So we're going to have you sign a release.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this one comes from @PoopDoctor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Our favorite.
A big fan of the. I mean, he is.
I'm a big fan of Poop Doctor.
You know what? I don't want to.
I hope he has actually sort of like a colonoscopy, you know.
I would love
or
that.
Endocrinologist or whatever.
It would be amazing if he was like the most accredited guy in the world, even though his avatar is Tails from Sonic the Hedgehog. But he has three questions. I might only do one of them.
Please.
First one is, how do you think Lorelai and Max's relationship was affected by 9/11?
Oh, God. I was thinking about that actually last season. I was like, what year is this? Oh, it's March 2001. Oh, so they're probably going to go through this in the show. Was it in the off time that 9/11 happened? I don't want to, by the way, I don't want to use 9/11 as a punchline right now, although it's so, you have to think about like how, like literally the show, it was happening, like it was on, like was season two starting after 9/11 or did it start just before?
It started right after. So it was, the premiere night was October the 9th, 2001.
Okay.
So I believe it was a double episode that night.
There are some shows where they were like, it's time for a sentimental episode or something.
Right, very special.
They don't do that.
The West Wing. And this is probably, but with the production schedule, it's probably shot before 9/11.
Probably.
Probably in like August or something. You were in New York on 9/11, weren't you?
I saw it.
Wow.
I saw it happen. Because our apartment was just right in Brooklyn, right across from the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
So every night when I walk home, I'd see them. And
is this you and Cordry?
Yeah.
I was living
with Rob Cordry. And the tower, I heard a big boom. And we went outside and saw people running around the street. And
then
I looked on the TV and we're like, oh, my God. And then we could go up to our roof and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept having this crazy thing, which sounds insane. Like, oh, I wish I'd seen it. But we would go up and watch and then get kind of freaked out and go inside. And then when the planes hit, we're like, what the fuck? And we went up on the roof again. And we saw one burning. We went inside, and then the other plane hits every time.
Oh, I think
we caused it every time we went inside.
You were
plane,
the
yeah. If we just stayed outside,
the bad luck check.
So
how does that affect Lorelai and Max's relationship?
I don't know. I think
makes for some desperate sex. Desperate, needy.
Lorelai might have realized
last day of the war. Before the war.
Yeah. Maybe Lorelai realized that her time on this earth is limited, and maybe she should spend it with someone she loves. And then Max was like, "I'm me."
The twin towers of their hearts were collapsing. No? Okay.
I think Max is I think he's a candidate for you know, being brought into a jihad. He seems to have that kind of like unanswered questions in himself.
Exactly. We're going to get so many complaints about this episode. For it.
Marcella Vargas at Ethne88, which is Ethne88, asks us, have you guys ever been grilled by possible in-laws? And then Mr. Christar at Mr. Christar asks us, have you had any awkward dinners, meetings with significant others, families, a la Dean in this episode? Go into excruciating detail.
I honestly haven't.
I don't believe I have.
Yeah,
either.
I don't. I wish I could go into detail of being like, oh, this one time. But no, not really. But I think it also helps that we're super young and don't really. Yeah. Like, Demi's there's 19. No, like, I'm 18. I'm getting younger as this continues.
Perfect.
I've had three birthdays in this podcast so far. But
Benji Betts.
Have you?
No. I was thinking, I was like, never, and I don't know if I'm just not in the right financial circles where, you know, I think I've come off pretty well for every woman I've like dated or, you know, been with and stuff, because mm-hmm. they were like, yeah, no questions, but
checks out. Yeah. I have pretty good parent mode, I will say. Like, I know how to be like, oh, hey,
yeah, me
blah,
too.
Blah, blah. Like, when parents mm-hmm. like are in town, I'm like, oh, how long are you here for? And blah, blah, blah. This makes it sound like I'm a jackass now, as if it's like a fake. It's
not
fake.
Leaving?
Parents, we love you. Come on the show.
I always go, do you want a beer? And then they laugh.
Allison Eck writes, what do you think Rory sees in Dean?
I don't know.
I don't know
don't
either.
Know
I can't make heads or tails of it at this point.
I guess at first it was their shared love of books and like just the fact that they were both newcomers to this. I mean, not even newcomers. They went to the same school and he like sort of weirdly approached her and I guess she found it charming or something. But now I'm just like, I don't get it. Because every time they're together, it's like one of them is explaining something to the other, so they're so different.
There's a lot of communication issues.
Yeah, and yeah. Now it's just kind of like this weird, like, we're together, we're never going to break up. And I think it's just that they're young. They don't, like, there's sort of...
I think it's a relationship of convenience, truthfully.
Oh,
really
very
do.
Much so.
Like, it's just like, you're cute, I'm cute.
Have there not been any other suitors for Rory?
Well, there have been, but not in a serious way. Chad Michael Mudface, yeah. We do not count.
Chad Michael Murray makes a... wonderful appearance in the show as a guy who's pretty much just harassing Rory to go. Like, he buys tickets to concerts and is like, I don't even like this band. You're supposed to go with me. And she's like, I don't like you. It's straight up abusive. Like, it's awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
No serious suitors, for sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty much just the
how, where is the town located in the...
It's in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
Because
oh,
the yeah. grandparents are in Hartford. So they have to drive a little bit to get there.
Oh, insurance. Insurance city.
Yeah. Is it really insurance mm-hmm. city?
Yes, the insurance capital of the world. Lots of insurance companies are based there.
Oh, I'm dumb. That totally makes mm-hmm. sense, though, given Richard's profession. Because he's all about insurance.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so when he says, I have work to do, and storms up from the table,
he's
got insurance.
I've got premiums to look at.
Exactly.
I'm not giving you deductibles.
One thing I found interesting about this episode, it's only happened in one other episode before, is they say the title of the show in the dialogue. They get home and Lorelai says to Dean, you've become a Gilmore Girl.
Christopher did that a few episodes ago. Just see what the Gilmore girls are up to.
Looks at the camera.
I love every time I want them to just look at the camera and just like wink. I'm really upset they don't.
Yeah, that's a huge shortcoming of the show. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Any other favorite lines? I think mine might have been just everything Emily said at the end.
Yeah, that was great. There was one moment where Lorelai and Max are arguing and she says, I want my popsicle back. What?
Oh, that was in reference to where she was saying, like, I had something I wanted to share with you, and I thought that would be nice. And you know how when you share with people, like, you break a popsicle and you give them half?
I feel like I missed every other line in this episode.
You were a little unengaged.
Yeah, I was too focused on Lane's comically sized suitcase.
It was comically sized.
Probably my favorite moment. All my favorite moments are just what's funny in this episode.
Are the parents over-the-top stereotypes... like Asian stereotypes, or
well, the parent Mr. Kim is nowhere to be seen, even though she refers to her parents all the time. Yeah. But it's Mrs. Kim. I wouldn't say totally over the top.
And you see her,
yeah.
Didn't you see?
You see Mrs. Kim at the beginning, yes.
Right.
She, I think, I don't know if it's over the top. We have arguments about that, but like
we talk about race a lot or lack thereof on the show. Yeah. It's pretty
a very
beige.
White show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Michelle has three lines in this. He weighs turkey and then he says, oh, goodbye. That's pretty goodbye. Much all he does.
Yeah, that was that character's deal. He's just...
he works at the inn and he's an awful human being.
Yeah, yeah, he's not good at his job.
He doesn't like anybody and he's not good at his job. Does he have any merit at
every time
all
we see
character?
Him, he's flipping through a book and going, like, you can do that yourself. Like, it's...
He was bizarre looking. Like, I was... It's the haircut, and it took me. And then his accent and stuff. I was like, I am having a hard time.
He's a real life supervillain.
If you had to say, would you say he's black, Michelle? How would you identify him from like an ethnic standpoint? Because we've had this debate a lot.
That's
the show.
A good question. Because he looks like he might be like from Morocco or something, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he looks like he has a little Mediterranean mixed in there.
Totally.
Which technically is African, so...
Yeah.
But
I'll count
it's not...
No, I know. It's a very, broad sort of, like, representation of race, but it's...
Broad city over here.
Yeah, it's very much broad city at Stars Hollow, but I'll count it.
Well, I think they think they're checking off a lot of boxes. He has an accent, so that's sort of foreign culture.
It's a four quadrant show.
Yeah, easily. Covered all the bases.
Exactly. One thing I wanted to make note of, a few things, just keeping count of fancy pants lady, rich lady names.
Rich lady names.
Biddy Charleston.
Biddy Charleston.
That was amazing.
Their format for a rich person name is just noun that or noun or description.
That ends with itty, because if you remember, it's Pity, Pity Salinger and Biddy Charleston are the two rich lady names.
Name plus Y and then a dance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone does the Salinger.
Yeah. Right? Everyone do the
Titty
Salinger.
Titty Charleston.
Titty Charleston would be one. Oh, Front Circle Charleston. Mm-hmm. The gritty, Maid Count.
Gritty Jitterbug.
City Foxtrot.
Yeah.
That actually would be one, right?
City Foxtrot. Yep. City Foxtrot. It's the next episode.
Welcome to City Foxtrot.
Maid Count plus one.
Maid Count Antonia. Is Antonia. In this one.
I thought they switched.
They always have new maid.
Literally every episode.
Yep. Literally? Because they're rich.
It's like a silent gag.
Which I think is fine. They do address
so
it
funny.
In a top of your intelligence sort of way later on. But for now, it's just like, yeah, it's a new girl.
If that's the first time they did it, it was Antonio. And then it turned into Antonia. And I thought that would have been funnier if they were just like, oh, new maid halfway through the episode.
That would be. They've probably done that at some point.
I thought it was so funny when Emily sits them down to be like, big news. And she's like, no, yeah, I know. It's like, who do you know at Chilton? It's like, my daughter. That was so funny.
Yeah.
And also in that scene, what I did like, even though I don't like Dean, and we're never, people on Twitter, because there's a lot of people complaining that we don't like Dean.
Team Dean?
A lot of Team Deaners out there.
Mm. Dean was okay. And then in this episode, I just hated him again.
Because he's just so vanilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about
him?
That's how I sort of
feel about both, like, my impression of Rory, too.
We've been given time to like Rory, but in this episode, like, Dean just sort of, his backstory disappears, and, mm-hmm. like, everything we...
Yeah, Chicago, or being into interesting book. Yeah, no. I don't know what's interesting about him anymore, truly.
I don't either. He can...
Well, they have no chemistry.
Like, no, they don't.
The pairing of them is just sort of, like, it just is just... You just picture them, like, kind of having, like, attractive sex, and then... Just sitting in silence. And, you know.
Which they haven't had sex on the show.
On the show.
Thus far.
On the show.
Stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
But they are a bit of a vanilla milkshake so far. Double vanilla all the way.
Yeah, with no sugar in it.
No. No sugar. Yeah, so it's just nothing.
Just a white cream
soy milk.
Oh my gosh. But the moment I did like in that scene was when they're razzing on Dean about the beer shit.
Oh, yeah.
He reacts as if he's having an aneurysm.
No, no beer. I don't want beer. Yeah. No beer.
And then they're like, even Emily's like, simmer down, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the show, I will say this, the show has weird little kind of awkward jumps in
tone.
Tone. And you're kind of like, what? Why is that?
Yeah.
I'm still getting over the crowd, like the musical number. No,
right.
You're doing this kind of... They don't do... When they do... This is going to be funny. They don't do it well, no. I don't think.
I
think it's when it's more incidental. You're like, oh, I didn't think that would be a funny line, but it is funny. I think
right.
When they're building up, like, here's this big sight gag.
Yeah.
You know what I think that might actually have to do with? Amy, we love you. Come on the show. But Amy Sherman-Palladino, the creator of the show, wrote and directed this, which is the first time she's done it. She directed the finale in the previous season, but she's never written and directed where she had like total authorship and autonomy over the episode.
Yeah.
And she's notoriously like very meticulous and a control freak. So I wonder, because they're still defining the visual language of the show. So like season two is way brighter color palette wise than season one was. So I think they're still finding their footing in terms of those tone things that you're talking about, where it's like it's flying over here on the spectrum and over here on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And it's just like swinging back and forth.
Right.
You know what I also noticed that was strange to me about the show was, maybe I'm wrong, but it felt like every single scene faded out. Like scenes would do a fade out into the next scene as
like
opposed
Frasier.
To, yeah, instead of just like a cut.
They do that a lot.
And it was a weird, like, I don't think they did it every single time, but there was, it was a weird... And I was just thinking, like, why would they choose this? Like, why would they choose this? It had a very kind of specific, like, fade feeling to it that was like, it just ended kind of like, just like me.
Exactly.
Kind of weak.
Well, we've talked about that before, about how, like, they don't really write in act breaks.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like, Rory, there's something I have to tell you. Fade out. Like, there's not, I mean, there's some of that, but in general, the moments that
really
they fade out on, it's almost like, maybe this is just a lofty comparison, Woody Allen-esque, how they do it, where it's not like there's not a lot of, you disagree?
Yes, I disagree with that. But I just, yeah, I don't think, it's sort of like with the tone thing, it's like they don't seem to have kind of like, my perspective is like they didn't have like a grasp of like, oh, this is going to be a good moment or this is where the scene should end. It felt like we're going to end the scene. Let's just try to have something poignant or funny. Yeah. And neither one, and both of them are going to be undermined by the fact that we're going to fade it out.
Yeah. So you're starting with a weak thing and making it even weaker.
Yes. Gotcha. Yes.
Yeah. Well, should we go around the horn and rate the episode? Are there any other moments we want to talk about?
I can't believe we didn't talk about Luke's only scene of when a everyone's passive aggression. Around, everyone's like in zombie mode at the windows of the coffee shop. And then she tells him, oh, I'm going to get married. And he's just like, cool. And then he gets really passive aggressive about the details.
He's
right, though.
I will say, I think it's probably the most realistic he's ever been played. Yeah. And just his, like, oh, well, you have to, because you can tell he's hurt. Yep. You can tell that there's, like, aggression coming out, but he's not being a straight up dick about it.
Yeah. And are there interactions like he's normally a straight up dick?
No, or? Normally it's he's like he's grumpy, gruff with a heart of gold.
Yeah. Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
Everyone's got a heart of gold.
Mm. Patty, the dance instructor with a heart of gold.
Yeah, and that same thing kind of tone-wise. I was like, oh, he's playing this very real. And then her reaction to it was like a little more, oh, my, but like, you know.
Yeah.
It was strange. I was like, you guys are in two different scenes right now.
Although I feel like I've had fights like that.
Where someone's being like reasonable, and you're just like, "What?
Where it's like, well, truthfully, I've probably been Luke in a lot of those fights where it's like I'm saying like, "Oh, well, that'll be nice." And I'm like being supportive. I'm not being supportive, and I'm like undermining it by playing it out logically.
Oh,
like,
totally.
Oh, well, you have to decide if you want kids or if you're gonna keep working.
Yeah,
and it's like those little jabs. It's hard to do, I think. Yeah. So I think they did that well.
It was just weird that we didn't see like. Like, Luke literally had no visible, like, oh, I didn't know. Oh, okay, I'm good for you. It was just kind of like,
His face was stone. Mm-hmm. He was just like, Yeah, I figured.
That was I was like, oh, here it comes.
It's so sad, because you, like, imagine telling your, like, a good friend of yours some, like, awesome news, and they're like, yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
Like, I just got promotion. Eh, all right.
But did they ever, have they made out? Did they date for a while?
Up to this point, they have had no romantic history.
So it's just been tension, bickering, flirting.
Sam and Diane, Rachel and Ross.
Seasons 1 through 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's them.
Hmm.
And when will they get together, Demi? What'd you say?
I don't know. Season 2 finale.
Season 2 finale. That's his prediction.
It's got to be the kind of thing where they're just like,
wait, are you new to watching?
He's watching it for the very first time. Funny. Yeah. And I'm guiding him.
And I'm so frustrated with like their relationship in particular, because it's like, no, we know. Like, it's been a season. Come on already.
Right.
Just kiss and then have that, like, what happened was wrong. No, yeah, you're right. And then they'll
we can't
be
keep
like,
doing
no,
this.
I do love you. I love you too. And then a season later, they're like, I think we have to break up.
Yeah.
And then season 6 happens or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm already sick of the future.
The part that did make me sick is when Patty said, like, well, I know you guys are just friends. I was like, all right. Like, that kind of setup, because Lorelai was like, no, we're just friends. It's like, shut up. Rachel left. There's clearly...
I want people in the town to just be like, shut up.
Yeah,
she's
just
gone.
Shake her.
Fucking...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just man up.
What are you going to do with daisies? Come on.
Yeah, which are... I don't even know, like, did she have the town go to the Independence Inn? I don't know.
Hey, pick up a daisy.
There's a lot of holes here, and we don't see Luke crying in the shower immediately after their conversation.
Right.
Well, he wouldn't cry and take off his baseball hat.
Ooh.
Yeah, he always wears a baseball
hat.
Because she gave it to him in the Christmas in the not Christmas episode.
Oh, yeah, in the seasonal snow episode.
In the seasonal snow episode. Well, let's go around the horn and give our rating. The way this works is we do a different rating system each every time using something in the show. So I will give this 3.5. See episode 201, Sadie, Married Lady. I will give it 3.5. 3.5 out of 5 Twinkies, Emily was so nice to have in Tanya. Start to prepare.
Prepare from scratch.
I do want to talk about that real
fast.
There's that whole useless scene where she has the Twinkies are on the table in a box, And then she takes out, what, 20-something Twinkies for the two of them, puts them on the plate.
Oh, yeah, when they go back home, yeah.
And then they sit down and put the plate right next to where the box is, where there's still Twinkies.
And just grab more.
So it was like that to me.
A lateral move.
It was completely a thing like, you need some business in the scene. Yeah. We got the Twinkies and stuff. And
I was so
distracted through that whole scene.
They have so many scenes where it's like, this isn't necessary, but they need other actors to be doing something.
It does feel like a play in that sense. Yeah. It's like you see blocking in a play, it's like, oh, you need to use the environment. Okay.
In a previous episode, there were like ketchup bottles on a table, and they had someone go around and pick up the ketchup bottles. And it's so distracting because in the background, like they're like having trouble getting one of the. It's not like a gag. It's clear that they're just having trouble.
They're having a hard time. Yeah. Bit of a struggle. So 3.5 out of 5 Twinkies.
I give it 3 out of 5 comically oversized suitcases.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't a particularly strong episode.
No.
Which is a bummer having such a great guest watch a not that great
episode. Well, Dean is the.
Yeah.
Fuck Dean.
Yeah.
FD.
Not knowing what the show is, you know, it wasn't completely offensive to me. There were things I'm like, this is ridiculous, and there's stuff like that was kind of charming. So I'm going to give it the 3 out of 5 Deans.
3 out of 5 Deans.
All right.
You know?
Okay.
But Deans are terrible, so it's actually 2 out of 5.
Ooh, so it's like negative 3 stars.
Yes. Well, that's your opinion. Like, there are people who love Dean.
That's true.
You don't want to upset the Dean viewers.
I chose Dean because he is as neutral as just like a statue.
Yeah.
You know, so it is like.
That's true. He is a blank slate.
He is a blank slate. I could have said like 3 out of 5, like, cans of Crisco. Same weight. Same impact.
Yeah.
Brian, do you have anything to plug before we wrap this up?
We'll see. Every Friday at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, we do a show called Soundtrack.
It's an amazing show.
Oh, thank you.
And you guys just expanded to an hour, right?
Yes. We're still trying to figure out what the other half is going to be.
Gotcha.
So there's that. I'm going to be on Veep this upcoming season, but I don't know when it is.
Brian is amazing on Veep.
You're so thanks.
Beltway
You're
Butcher.
Thanks.
Leon West. So good.
Yeah, this is a good episode for this season. He has a good episode.
I can't wait.
I don't know what else.
A Better You?
A Better You. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I made a movie with Matt Walsh that is going to be at a film festival. I can't tell what it is, but it's a good one.
All right.
And then hopefully you'll get a distributor, and then you guys should view it.
Check it out. It's an improvised movie.
Yeah, it's all improvised movie.
That'll be awesome.
With a bunch of really hilarious actors. Friends.
That'll be so cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming and doing the show.
Thanks for exposing me to my new favorite show, guys.
I know. Can't. Lot to look forward to with your daughter.
You know what I'm just going to do? I'm just going to watch the first season of each, or first episode of each new season. Yeah. And try to piece together all the pieces.
That's more fun. Create your own story.
Yeah.
I imagine you get to season 4 and she's like, he's dead. And it's like, wait, what? Like, wait, go back a
Dean is the mayor? That's weird.
It's like Goldie Hawkins. Or Goldie Hawn? Who
Goldie,
knows?
Goldie Hawkins?
Goldie from Back to the Future.
Johnson.
I always mess up this name.
Yeah, I don't know. Goldie something.
Where he's like, Goldie Harrison? No, that's a friend of ours.
We'll Google it.
Anyway, you can follow us at Kevin T. Porter.
You can follow me on Snapchat at, I'm kidding, and Electro Lemon.
At Electro Lemon. We're on SoundCloud now, so you can go to soundcloud.com/Gilmore-guys.
Ooh, can I? I'm at the Brian Husky on Twitter and Instagram.
Absolutely.
And I love my Instagram. So
yes, because you used to be a photographer and you still are.
I am still doing that. So check them out, guys.
No. When I said used to be a professional.
I used to be, yes.
It used to be, but still is.
Now I just do it for the passion.
For the love of the game.
The art.
The art. You can follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter and email us. We love reading emails. We're going to dedicate a whole ep to emails, I think. GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. Tell us what you like, what you love, what you hate, what you want to happen, and we'll make
your dreams
come true.
Your fears, your wildest regrets.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Brian, how well do you know the theme song?
How? Not well enough.
Perfect. Well,
apparently.
Great. We end each episode by singing it all together.
Oh, okay.
So this will be fun.
You can just freestyle words if you want.
You do that entire song? Like, I have to be there for the... How long is this thing?
It is like 60 seconds long.
Whoa, God. 60, so
really?
Long.
I think so.
Oh, my God.
It feels less because it just flies by. Actually, you know what? It's 56. I retract that previous statement.
Okay.
Where are you getting these numbers?
Let's drop that sick beat. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Here we go.
If you're out on the road.
On the road.
And so cold.
Oh,
it's cold outside.
All you have to do is call my name, and I'll be there on the next train.
This sounds like a Carly Simon song. Carly Simon, Carole King, or the same.
That you tell me to, if you need. You need me to be with you. I will follow.
Oh, oh, oh. Where
you lead. I love that. All right. I'm just watching.
Just watching.
Just tell me to, if you need.
I will follow. Brian Husky.
On Twitter and Instagram
at the Brian Husky. Twitter.
Gilmore Girls.